Well, good afternoon, everyone. We want to warmly welcome you to this service of thanksgiving this afternoon for Iris Masterson. I know that the congregation, rather the family here, are very much appreciative of your presence here today, your support, and all of your messages of sympathy and kindness to them already. And perhaps I can take the opportunity then just to personally, and on behalf of the congregation here, express sympathy, particularly to John and Paul and Darren, to Colin, Carl, also Iris's brother Lewis and sister Janice, and also Robert here as well. At the passing of a woman that everyone who knows her will genuinely, fondly remember her. We have pleasant memories of Iris being with us regularly every Sunday evening. We were glad to have her. We enjoyed company with her, both in her own home and then in latter years when she went into Liscarroll as well. Perhaps we'll start our time together by turning to our order of service. We'll sing this first hymn, Rock of Ages. We'll stand to do so, and then we will have a word of prayer together. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. And this is a hymn that Iris would have had experience of. I mean the experience of this hymn in her own soul, in her own life. And certainly as a fitting hymn for this occasion. We'll get the introduction and then we'll stand together to sing. Seated. Let's bow in a word of prayer together, just to look to the Lord for this service of thanksgiving, for his help and blessing. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, as we gather here this afternoon, We want to thank you, Lord, for the comfort and the encouragement that is found when we look to the Word of God and when we look to Thee. As we gather on this occasion in the house of God, we pray, O Lord, that Thy presence indeed would be a felt reality in the midst of us. We pray, Lord, particularly for the family members. We ask of Thee, O Lord, just to draw near to their hearts today. Those who feel most acutely the loss of Iris. Those, Lord, who feel the void more than anyone. We pray, Lord, today Thy grace will be sufficient. You'll give them, Lord, the ability, Lord, to go through, Lord, with this service and in the days to come, that they would have both wisdom and grace. Lord, even look to Thee in the midst of all of this, that they might find in Christ their rock, their help, and their hope. We want to thank You, Lord, for Sister Iris. Every remembrance, Lord, we have of her in the congregation and in times of visitation with her. We thank You, Lord, for bringing her, Lord, into this world, for leading, guiding, for bringing her, Lord, to that profession of faith many years ago. And therefore, we rejoice today that we do not bury one without hope, but there is hope today in the resurrection. And so we pray, Lord, certainly now for those who remain behind, who bear the loss, that truly, Lord, Thy grace will be sufficient. So do us good now as we have this service together. Give help, Lord, from pulpit to pew. And most of all, may Thy presence be a felt reality. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen. I want to bring just a brief word of tribute to Iris. We had the opportunity to speak with the family, and they gave me some memories. And we also have some memories ourselves of this dear lady. Iris was a Queen Street woman, the first born of six. Lewis, Janice, Mark, Jack, Bobby, and then Iris. Now, I don't want to offend anyone. Those are not in any particular order. Although I mentioned Janice there, I think she may be the youngest of the family. But those early days, I gathered, had their difficulties. And Iris was in some ways like a mother to the rest of the family, and she worked hard for her siblings as she could in those days. And while I was talking with her sons and Tracy as well here, there was one theme in my mind that came very clearly as we considered Iris's life, and that was the theme of caring. She seemed to care from her earliest days. That was a mark of her life. I'm aware that both her and Janice looked after their grandmother. Iris worked for a while in the Sun Laundry. I saw a photo, actually, of that just yesterday, actually. And also, she worked in the Stitchwell. But her caring for others was clearly seen when she went to work in Larne Adult Centre, assisting those with special needs. She also worked for a time in Liscarroll as well. I have no doubt that Iris's cheeky sense of humour would have kept those that she worked with and those that she cared for at times in good humour. I have no doubt about whatsoever. The appeal of the mainland caught Iris's eye, I believe, when she was a teenager and she moved over to Leeds for a new start. She worked there for a period, again, in an institution to support people with mental disabilities. So no matter where she goes, that caring nature followed her. Iris was married in Leeds, and from that relationship came five sons. John, the eldest, Paul, Darren, Colin, in Carn. Carl called the wean of the family, and I'm also in a similar situation to Carl. I'm the youngest in my family, and I think the baby of the family always holds a special place in the mother's heart. Three of her sons were born in England, and then Iris returned to Northern Ireland, and two more were born to her as well. She raised these sons, putting in a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice by herself to make sure her sons received the best that she could possibly provide for them. That was clear as we spoke with them yesterday. She was devoted to her boys, sacrificed a lot. And what really touched me was just when I read, it seemed to be a questionnaire the Scarl gave to Iris. And it was asking her certain questions about her life. And one of those questions seemed to ask, what is your greatest achievement in life? And her answer was, my five boys. Those are my greatest achievement in life. And man, that's tremendous. You had a mother who genuinely loved you and thought a lot of you. I have no doubt there are many a time she had to sternly rebuke you, but nevertheless, there was love in that rebuking heart as well. Iris was a great mother. And before I go any further, these are not my words. These are the words of her own sons. She was a devoted mother, but she was not the greatest cook in the world. And I know if Iris was here, she would laugh at that. She would probably agree. And then it would be followed by some cheeky remark about her five sons, and they did well to get any food on the table at all after their behavior. Nevertheless, she was a mother who certainly did what she could, and these men tell me I have many fond memories of those mealtimes together. Although Iris had many difficulties to contend with over the years, there was something she clearly loved, and that was fashion. And the one thing that I was informed about was her interest in her high heels. I was told that you'll find her any day when she was healthy and well, marching up and down the streets in a pair of stilettos. And again, what emphasized that to me was, and I have to say, I smiled and laughed heartily again when that questionnaire she answered asked what were some of the most significant moments in your life. Now think about that question for a moment. What are some of the most significant moments in your life? Iris's answer, amusingly, to that was, when she was 14, her mother bought her first pair of high heels. And that was her significant moment in her life. That amused me to no end. I know Tracy here was very much involved in keeping Iris's interest in fashion as up to date as possible. Just recently, I think around Christmas time, she had taken in a few waistcoats. And what I understand is typical, Iris looked at them and she picked one and was confident that's the one that she wanted. Tracy would then take everything back to the shop. And then the next day, someone would be in the home. And by that stage, Iris had completely changed her mind. That meant, again, Tracy would run into the shop, exchanging with receipts and bringing the other alternative waistcoat that she had eventually settled upon. Iris moved from her home into care. I was just working from memory. Would that be about 5 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. Okay. Although her physical frame gave her a lot of discomfort and limited mobility, her mind remained sharp. And I could see that when we were visiting her as well. Her mind was as sharp as a lance, and that's always a great blessing indeed. On a number of occasions, I would have been visiting Iris. There was another individual there I met, and his name was Robert. I saw Robert there on several occasions. On one occasion, I don't know if you remember this, Robert, or not, but you were telling me about the Spanish oak in Cairncastle. And we were chatting about that. I'd never heard of it before. I wasn't in Larne a terrible while at that point, and we went shortly afterwards as a family to go and see it, and we were there, and we seen it, and that was good to see. But it became clear that Robert was more than just a visitor. Tracy and the boys filled me in on some of the details of the past 40 years or so, and they tell me that one occasion when you were visiting Iris, you got what I would call a prickly reception. I understand that Carl, and they had great delight in telling me this and wanted me to mention it as well, set out a few drawing pins strategically placed to welcome you on one occasion into the house. All I can say is Carl was watching too much Dennis the Menace in those days. Of course, that was a long time ago, and both Carl and Robert would have visited Iris often in the home in latter years. John and Carl, obviously being residents here in Northern Ireland, were able to call daily with Iris, and I would always ask her, "Were you out today? Were you out yesterday? What did you do?" And she always thoroughly enjoyed her trips away. She liked her freedom, her excursions. I understand that those runs usually contained a visit to the chippy to get her pasty supper, which, strangely, I can't associate this at all, but she would take off all the batter and get to the insides of the pasty and enjoy her meal. If it wasn't a pasty supper, it might have been a tuna sandwich, nice cream as well, quite a combination. Sadly, only a couple of weeks ago, Iris received the awful news, the diagnosis that she had cancer. In a very short time passed, she was taken into hospital and then quietly and peacefully passed away in Antrim area hospital, where she had received very good, kind, and compassionate care. Iris, as I said already, will be fondly remembered by her family and by everyone who knew her. She was just a likable woman. She was pleasant in every way. There are a few acknowledgments that Iris's son wanted me to mention. I'm going to do that right now. Firstly, to Tracy. Tracy was a friend, confidant, and the daughter that Iris never had. She was able to talk to Tracy about things that you can only talk to a daughter about. The friendship of a son can only go so far. And she was glad of Tracy. I understand she was a great encouragement and a help to her. They wanted to thank Tracy for her preparation for this service today, and to Tracy's mother and father, Jesse and Marion as well, for their help and their input. Also a special thanks to Ramses. Also the staff in the Scarl and in Antrim Area Hospital for all the care that Iris received. And then there's one other person we want to mention today, and our special thoughts are with Darren and with Kerry in Australia. They're joining us online via Facebook today. They were unable to come over due to the COVID restrictions, and we know that Darren would love to have been here on this occasion, but we will be remembering you, and the family's thoughts are certainly with you, Darren, at this time. In many ways, it is still quite a shock to me as Iris's minister to be here today. It really is. Everything happened very quickly. And yet we have this confidence that Iris had called upon the Lord. And so we lay to rest someone who is in Christ and who is genuinely saved. If you have a copy of God's Word, I want to just bring a few thoughts to you from the Gospel of John. John's Gospel, and the chapter 10. If you have a Bible, please have it open there, and if not, I'm going to read that verse with you. And then again, let's have a word of prayer together once we read this. So John chapter 10 and the verse number 7. I feel this is most fitting for today. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And here's the primary text, verse 11, I am the good shepherd, the Lord said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Before we come to just consider a few thoughts from that text, perhaps we could stand together for one moment and let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Let's all stand. Our Lord and our God, as we come now to open the Word of God again, Lord, every time we saw Iris either in the house of God or in her home or in residential care, Lord, we had this privilege of opening the Word with Iris. And so, Lord, it is my privilege again today at this service in honor to her that we would open up this book that she thought so highly of and had a massive respect for. And we pray, Lord, that you would honor the preaching of thy word today. Bless it, Lord, to every hearer. And may there be lasting comfort that every soul will enjoy. Be with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The Gospel of John is the book where we read in chapter 3 and 16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this was a book that Iris would have often heard me speak from, both in her own home in Liscarroll and here in the house of God. And I can still distinctly remember both Jack and Iris coming into the Lord's house here on a Sunday evening. They'd have sat just on my left on the middle pew there. And Jack would have pulled in his big red Honda Accord. And he would have marched Iris into her pew there. And there she sat. Jack then would have marched into the prayer room and he would have prayed his heart out for Lorne and for his family. And then he would have come back into the church and sat down beside Iris. They sat there, they listened, and the two of them went out at the end of the service, usually with a word of encouragement or thanks. And that was how it happened week in, week out. And we miss them. We are not a big congregation here, and we miss both Jack and Iris in their faithful attendance to the house of God here. When I came to Lorne, I was visiting the congregation, and it is incumbent upon the minister to establish as best possible where the people stand before God. Who is saved and who is not, who has trusted in Christ as Savior and who has not. And so in visiting Iris, we arrived at the house and we had a good time of conversation together, and she was filling me in on her family and details and so on. And then I came to the question, just to ascertain where she stood before the Lord. I said, "Iris, are you saved? Iris, are you forgiven? Have you called upon the Lord for mercy?" That's a question we all need to ask and come to a clear decision on and not duck. Well, when I asked Iris, her response was, "Yes." Well, I must admit, I wasn't content with that at all. And so I asked Iris, "Well, when and how did you come to faith in Christ?" And she told me in her own words of how both her and my predecessor in the pulpit here sat on one occasion, and they prayed together, and she gave her life to Christ. She had sought the Lord for salvation, and she was depending upon Him for acceptance into heaven and the life hereafter. I never pinpointed exactly when that was. It certainly was before my time in the pulpit here. I gathered a few years before I came, so perhaps 13 or so years ago. I'm not just quite sure, but she was sure that it happened. Can I say this respectfully? That did not make Iris perfect. It didn't. Being saved makes no one perfect. We still struggle with the sins of the flesh or limited knowledge of the will of God. And you can point your finger at any Christian and highlight their faults and failures. I'm the same. But there is a change when someone gets saved. There is a trust in Christ. A trust in Christ to forgive you. A trust in Christ to accept you into heaven. And Iris had that confidence that she was going to heaven, not because she was good enough, but because Christ was good enough. And Christ had accepted her in salvation and invited her home to heaven. So when anyone trusts in Christ, it doesn't make them perfect, that's for sure. But they have a love for the Lord. And I am confident anyone here who knows Iris will agree with me. Iris had a love for the Lord. She did. I could see that. And I rejoice in that. She trusted in Christ to pay the price that she owed. And the Lord did so. In the Lord's eyes, Iris was forgiven. And when she passed from this world, she would have entered into the presence of the Lord. That's what this book clearly teaches, that there is life hereafter. And Iris was ready for that life. And she was ready to stand before the Savior as her own personal Savior. She was prepared to go, and Iris was prepared to go over a decade ago. And she'll not regret that today. In our passage here in John 10 and the verse 11, the Lord described Himself as the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd that gave His life for the sheep. And what you have in that verse is, first of all, the identity of Christ. Christ's identity. He calls Himself the Good Shepherd. And that's a lovely term, folks. Because this is what Iris believed. This is something that Iris held too dearly. When the Lord calls Himself the Good Shepherd, that invokes thoughts of someone who cares. Someone who is interested in His flock. Someone who is compassionate about His followers. And very often you will get people who raise sheep, shepherds. And they couldn't care less about the sheep. They keep their sheep so that they can profit financially from their flock. But the Lord isn't called the shepherd here. He's called the Good Shepherd. And that means He is someone who genuinely cares for the well-being of His flock. That's comforting. That's reassuring. And I can say today that the Lord cared, was interested in and was compassionate towards Iris. You also see in this text the Lord's assignment. It says that the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life. And that's exactly what Christ came to do. He came to give his life. And here you have the greater giving his life for the lesser. Now think about that. Why would a shepherd give his life for a sheep? Can you see the emphasis there? The greater shepherd giving his life for the sheep. Here you have God in flesh giving his life for creatures like us. Why would he do that? Why would Christ have went to the cross and died for me, for Iris, for any believer? Well, we read in God's word in Romans 5 and 8, God commendeth, or God clearly showeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The cross was a demonstration of his love. That's why he came, because he loved his people. The third thing you see here is the community, and that is the sheep, the flock. Creatures, when we talk about sheep, they are creatures who need a shepherd. They enjoy a peaceable setting. Sheep obviously want to be able to enjoy a peaceful communal gathering. And that's a good description of mankind. None of us desire war and friction. We don't want to be miserable or isolated. We want to have a peaceable, enjoyable communal dwelling. The Lord cares for his sheep. And when I was reading this, I couldn't think of a better verse to tie in with Iris. She was a sheep, one of the Lord's sheep. And when I was reading that verse, it just brought to my remembrance Iris's hair. Just on, it would have been, I suppose, the early hours of Saturday morning, we briefly joined John and Carl in the hospital when Iris was very, very low. I was shocked to see her in that condition. I really was. I was saddened to see her there. But the one thing that stood out in my mind was her hair. And I must say, both John, Carl, and myself, we smiled and we laughed because Iris had more hair than Carl, John, and me put together, and was pure white. White like the wool of a sheep. Just reminded me of this very passage. She was one of the Lord's sheep, one of the Lord's flock. And we're told here that the Lord gave his life for his sheep. That means that the Lord gave his life for Iris. That's huge. There's a woman laying before me, and I can say on the basis of this word and her profession of faith that God sent his son to die for her. That's a huge value on this woman's soul. I wonder today, are you saved? I'm not asking you, are your works good enough to please God? That's not what I'm asking you. What I'm asking you is, do you love the Lord? Are you interested in him? Even as Iris was, she spoke of him with respect and with love. Iris loved the Lord because the Lord first loved Iris. And we read again in this book, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And therefore I can say on the basis of this word that Iris will not perish because she's in Christ. She's with the Lord today, her good shepherd. And so I wonder, would you come today in simple faith, in simple childlike faith, trusting in the Lord? You don't have to be a scholar. Iris simply trusted in the Lord. She knew she needed a Savior. Like us all, far from perfect, needed the Lord to forgive us, forgive her for her shortcomings. And the Lord hears the call of those that cry upon him. And so, Today, we say good night to Iris. And I wonder, will you be able to confidently say today in the morning, we'll be in the same place Iris is in heaven, rejoicing with our Savior forevermore. In that place was no more tears, no more sorrow, and no more parting over there. Honestly, it has been my privilege today to conduct this service of thanksgiving and to have known Iris in recent years. Let's pray. We'll keep our seats as we do so. We'll sing our final hymn. Let's pray first of all. Our Lord and our God, as we bow before Thee today, we rejoice in the Good Shepherd. We are thankful, Lord, for Iris's confidence in Thee. We are thankful, Lord, for her faith in Thee. None of us, Lord, are perfect. We're far from it. And yet we rejoice that Iris did seek Thee. And so today, we thank You, Lord, for the Good Shepherd who gave His life for her. We are thankful for the Good Shepherd who gave His life for all who trust in Him. And we pray that even, Lord, today, at this service of thanksgiving, and we have no doubt that Iris would love, if this was the case as well, that someone would put their faith in the Savior, in her Savior, and even follow in her footsteps in that sense. So, Lord, bless Thy word today to every heart. And as we conclude this time together, Lord, remember each and every one. We want to give thanks even for the food that is provided hereafter. And we pray, Lord, particularly for the family, even for tomorrow morning, as they travel up to Rose Lawn, give them traveling mercies, even to your sons who return back home to England. Lord, draw near to them at this time of loss. So be with us now, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you would, take your order of service, please. The second hymn is The Sweet By and By. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I trust that's everyone's experience today, that we will meet again on the shore on the other side. When we get the introduction, we will stand together to sing. We would ask you then to remain standing while the funeral procession comes to a conclusion. And once Iris is taken, everyone then can move into the back hall for some refreshments provided. Let's get the introduction and then we'll stand to sing.